This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A topic that's very widely discussed is mahr. And so on the topic of mahr, something that I found is that as an Egyptian, going to try to meet a Palestinian family.
Total different world, exactly. By the way. Yeah, they have different rules. They have different expectations.
Very different.
Yeah. All Shuam and Egyptians have different ways of getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does, let's say a brother goes and he proposes to a sister and his goal is he has his expectations of what a mahr looks like, but then the family has very different expectations.
Yeah.
What's the best way to try to navigate that?
There was one time the dads tried to do it and they had a big fight. Egyptian-Palestinian, right? Big blow up.
Yeah.
Because again, the Palestinian, the Shami tradition, obviously not speaking for everybody, but saying in general, the general Shami tradition is it's all on the husband, the whole thing, the whole shebang. We're not lifting a finger. The Egyptian side does have a little bit of a give and take where certain parties will be held by you, certain by us, and then certain things will be split like that. So those discussions, best to be done by your lawyers, counsel, right? You don't go in and have big negotiations yourself. You send your counsel to go and talk.
So who would the counsel be in this situation?
So let's say your dad and her dad, right? Let them have a discussion on it. Why? Because that's the first go-around. If we're so far off, you don't want to be so far off with her dad, right? And usually, in most cases, a woman doesn't negotiate her mahr. She may talk to tell her, but she doesn't directly negotiate her mahr, right? She'll tell her dad what she wants. But that's usually how it works. You have them discuss it so that if you're so far off, it's not you who's far off. And you could come in afterwards and say, okay, sorry, my dad was way off. Let's work this out and be the good guy.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they send in two interrogators. They send a good cop and a bad cop. It's always better to have two people involved so that one could do the stuff that could potentially be damaging to you. The dad can do that. He could bear that. I said earlier, he's the blocker, right, for these potentially contentious discussions.
What about, I heard there's two stories that really kind of left me, especially having recently been a part of these conversations or had these conversations. There's two stories that I heard, one of them in Jersey, one of them in SoCal, that really kind of blew me away. The first one in Jersey is that there's a brother who, he met her family, everything was going well. They'd been speaking for a few months, everything was well and dandy. Then they started talking about mahr. And the father didn't like the son, or didn't like the potential groom. So he said, you know what, 150K mahr. And so the brother was like, I'm in love with this woman.
And she's in love with him?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem right there. You're in love first, and then you get your parents involved. Why even waste your parents' time?
No, they did everything.
Just get married and khalas.
They did everything the halal way at that point. He went through the wedi in the beginning.
And he accepted him.
And he
let him have the second meeting.
He let him have the second
meeting. Then that wedi is a confused person. Why would you let him have the second meeting, right?
I don't know. I think they were also trying to get to know him at the same time.
Or is it that he passed the first meeting, he was good, and then by the time the wedi figured out that he's actually not good, they're already in love with each other.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's an awkward situation.
Yeah. So, but what ended up happening in this situation is that the brother kept going. He was like, 150K? Meshi. And so he came up with the 150K over 3 years.
Egyptian pounds. Which is what, like 30K, right?
Way less than that.
Way less than that.
3K.
Divided by 15.
So he ended up raising, over the course of 3 years, he worked and then got the 150K for the mahr. Obviously, this isn't the ideal.
Yeah.
So how do you...
That's a great guy.
I hope they're very happy because he earned it.
And the wedi, he didn't say, okay, no, I was just exaggerating?
He wanted to keep the daughter happy.
She needs 150K on the spot to be happy.
No, he wanted
marry another woman.
Is that he set this crazy bar.
Yeah.
And then expected and was like, there's no way that this guy is going to hit this bar. Khalas, he's going to leave. I'm pricing him out of my daughter.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening is that he comes back a few years later. He's like, hey, I got the 150K you asked for. And the daughter obviously didn't want this. But the, khalas, what's the father going to say at that point?
I personally find this wali to be off in the whole way he handled the whole thing. That's not the way to do things.
So let's say the brother came to you in this position. Yeah. He's like, Sheikhna, they're asking for 150K.
Yeah.
What do you tell him?
I tell him, I ask him, what is the dad's profession? Is he a real estate developer in Manhattan? Because that's a very low mahar, if that's the case, right?
Let's say he's upper middle class.
Upper middle class. Then someone needs to talk to that guy. He's either telling you leave, it's giving you a hint to leave, or we can talk to him and wake him up a little bit.
Okay.
So that's why, again, why would you do something so difficult alone, right? You can utilize, leverage the people that you know, the your imams, your friends, to situations like this where we'd say, talk to the guy and get him back onto earth.
Okay.
With this mahar.
So there is like the opportunity for like outside kind of intervention when you're talking about mahar.
Of course, it's a negotiation like anything else. Okay. Yeah.
This other story, I'm a big fan of this story.
Yeah.
There was a brother, again, very interested in the sister, did everything the halal way. She was the one who set the bar for the mahar. And
that's makruh, by the way.
Is it?
Like for the Prophet ﷺ, he said the best woman is one who was easygoing with the mahar.
Okay.
Right. Like it's like a bad taste almost.
So I think she left a very bad taste. She asked for 100K.
The dad, if the dad does that, it's acceptable. Mm. Right. If the dad says, no, this is my daughter, so you have to pay a lot of mahar, a high mahar, that's acceptable. It's reasonable. It's understandable. But okay, anyway.
So she said, I want 100K.
Okay.
She also said, I want to go to medical school.
Oh, wait, on his tab?
On his tab.
Okay.
And I don't want to work after I graduate from medical school.
Well, what is the point of going to medical school then?
So this is just this to have the letters.
That's a really, really weird request.
But they loved each other. They were very happy with each other.
She obviously loves something else about him, right? What's his job? What was his job?
Not enough to afford this. I think he was like a consultant or something.
I think she loves herself.
I want you to guess how this worked out.
These are probably your friends who are cursing me right now in Georgetown.
These are people I was very shocked to hear these stories.
Okay.
Either way, they didn't work out. But
no kidding.
Yeah.
Right? Who is going to work out with such a ridiculous request? I'm going to disappear for 4 years, drain $500,000 from your accounts, and then not use it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Jersey's different with the stories that you hear coming out of
Jersey.
I've heard a lot of really interesting stories about mahar here.
It's very good method of education on this subject. Just go by stories, right? To develop a norm here.
Mm.
All right, what else you got?
So what do you think, I suppose, to develop a norm, what do you think a fair asking amount is?
Firstly, where is this girl? She has advisors in her family? Like, where is her dad and mom to say, this is like, you're way off on this?
I think they're, again, in the position of like, they want to keep their daughter happy. Khalas, you're asking for this much, even if you're going to be single for the rest of your life. Khalas, if that's what you want to ask for it. And then there's like, you know, parents who are actually being parents and saying, maybe this is a little out of the realm of reality.
Some people spoil their kids. Like, you have to wake up a little bit and be within a realm of reality. Now, by the way, that's why I said, what is their job? Because if they're all multi-millionaires, 150K is a drop in the bucket. It's expected. If a millionaire family is proposing to another millionaire family, that's nothing for them. So that's it's orfi. That's why I'm saying it's orfi. But if you're saying like a regular person that you said upper middle class, then that would be out of range. Then the range would be 10 to 50.
So in this situation, he was upper middle class. She was from a wealthy family. So in this position, like, what would you... Is this like a fair ask from her end to ask for this?
You have to meet in the middle because you're not living your way. You're not living his way. Maybe you meet in the middle. You have to meet in the middle somewhere. That's the thing. Some people, they care more about money than love. That's the truth. There are people out there, and I can tell you from what other women have told me. I'm not judging the women. I can't judge the women. I don't know them, but they have told me there are women, all they care about is the material aspect of life. This life is going to be comfortable from here on. I will not worry about another penny and I will have everything that I want. And if he's here, he's not, it doesn't make a difference. The personal element is not, think of it what you want, but some people are like that.
Yeah.